G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. So, morning to you, and wherever you are this morning, you might be somewhere around the world, you could be anywhere, but so grateful that you could tune in, live stream. We like doing things live. I know you can do all kinds of tricks, but you know, today you're live right here from Bathurst, and I want to share a word from you from the Bible. So come with me, we're going to dive right into Isaiah, the book of Isaiah 52. Now, of course, it's the week before Easter. And if you follow the church traditions and calendar, we call this Palm Sunday. It's the day when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the capital city, and basically was preparing for his execution on Friday, which we call Good Friday. And all this week, he's doing everything he can to help people understand his mission. But they didn't really get it until afterwards, but that's okay. But what we want to look at is these few weeks and how he brought peace. And come with me to this verse in Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." You know, this scripture, this verse, was hundreds of years before Jesus. And it describes what God's people were going through. They were stuck in exile. It's a little bit like being at home stuck, but that they were in Babylon stuck for 70 years. And in this time, they had to work out. They were distant from their homeland. They wanted to go back to their homeland in Jerusalem. And this scripture talks about the time when it would all finish. Isaiah is saying there's coming a time when we're going to publish good news. And it's like these people on the mountains around Jerusalem are saying, hey, all the people are coming back home. This end is near. And I think it's a bit like that when our prime minister might stand up and say, hey, guess what, everyone? Coronavirus is over. That would be good news, wouldn't it? It's kind of like that. And what happens is that God's people do come back and all these things are happening. But the three things here we're going to focus on this month, we're going to talk about good news, peace, happiness, and salvation. These are the things that are promised by Jesus. And today we want to talk about peace because the world needs peace right now. And there is so much peace to be had. So I'm going to jump in to another part and think about what is peace? Peace is a common word. Peace is used in all kinds of contexts. Wikipedia, of course, we dive right in there. It talks about a concept of societal friendship and harmony in the absence of hostility and violence. Maybe that's peace, the absence of warfare. Maybe it's the lack of conflict or freedom of fear of violence. But don't we live in a world desperate for peace? I read a statistic by Dr. Jago Salmon of the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. And he says it's estimated that by 2030, over half of the world's poor will be living in countries affected by high levels of violence. Peace that we long and crave for is so distant from so many. We live in a world of turmoil, even without viruses and economic turmoil. There is so much dispeace and turmoil in our world. So what does Jesus have to say about that? Well, let's jump into a verse that Jesus is talking about right before he dies. We're talking Thursday night in John 16. It's been Palm Sunday. Jesus has been going through everything. He's been battling, trying to get his point across. And he's actually finished a meal that we call the Last Supper. And that as a church, we're going to celebrate that on Thursday night, live stream it from 8 o'clock. We're going to have a time of communion together. We're going to have a time of reflection on this really, really special night that leads into Good Friday. And in that meal, Jesus is spending a lot of time talking. And this is what he says. He says in John 16, verse 33, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And that one verse we're going to unpack today, just one verse. Look at what does it mean to have real peace? And what is Jesus talking about? Then he says he's overcome the world. Well, let's start with, he says, these things I've said to you. What are these things that Jesus is talking about? Because he's been talking about this for a long time. He was in a loquacious mood. He's 4 chapters of discourse, long, long talking. I bet his disciples were getting a little sleepy. He'd been sharing his heart, and you can read this in 4 chapters from John 14 to John 18. This whole discourse is going on. It's a Passover meal. They're sharing not just communion, bread and wine like we do, but it's actually a whole meal going on right there. And he says, Jesus is going away. The world is turning upside down. Jesus is trying to communicate that everything is about to change. And his friends are not getting it. He says, these things I'm talking to you. He says, what is these things? He's talking about that even though he's going to go away, the Holy Spirit will come and help them. Jesus has been with these friends for 3 years. Intimately sharing meals, walking together, talking together, arguing together sometimes. And now Jesus is saying, I'm going to go away. He said, but wait, there's someone far greater about to come. It's the Holy Spirit. And he says this in John 14. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Do you know that you have a helper, a comforter, a counselor in the Holy Spirit? And if Jesus didn't go away, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come. And don't we need advice and counsel and comfort at this time? That's what the Holy Spirit does. In fact, he is our counselor. You might be facing all kinds of situations right now. You might be facing unemployment, maybe for the first time. You might be facing just insecurities around just health and situations. But the Bible here says that the helper, the comforter, the counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, will actually teach you all things. I tell you, in my experience, when I haven't known what to do, by praying and asking the Holy Spirit, what do you think I should do, has been the greatest guide in my life. I mean, you could spend thousands of dollars on counseling, and there's some great counselors, and we do that. Or you could buy all kinds of books, and you could do all kinds of research, but actually the easiest and best way to get counsel is from the Holy Spirit. And I find in times of crisis or moments where I've just not known what to do, that to simply pray, Holy Spirit, what do you think I should do? Because you say in John 14, 26, that you'll teach me all things and you'll guide me. These are these things that Jesus is talking to his friends about when he's nearing the end. He says, there's peace coming. Just don't forget the Holy Spirit will bring you not just peace, but counsel and guidance as well. Get to know the Holy Spirit personally. That's my encouragement for you this morning. Take time to pray and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You will get inside knowledge of what you should be doing for your context and situation. Secondly, he says this. He says, in me, you have peace. In me, you have peace. Not me, Jesus, you have peace. See, Our world chases all kinds of means of peace. We all know that peace is a good thing and we all crave it and somehow want it, but what is it? And what is real peace? In fact, our world chases all kinds of peace right now that's not even available to us. I mean, it's incredulous that we can't go for a bushwalk and find peace if you're a person who finds peace out in nature. That perhaps you can't find peace over a meal with friends and a barbecue and social life. And sometimes these bring us great peace, don't they, in the company of good friends and just celebrating life together. That there's a great sense of peace that comes from it, but we can't do that right now. Maybe it's a holiday at the beach. How nice would that be? You can't even get to Queensland now. The border's shut. You can't go to Fiji or Hawaii or Bali. It's like, isn't that the place where you go to find peace? But suddenly we can't do those things anymore. We can't take a holiday even. So what does it mean? Well, when Jesus says, in me, you'll find peace, it's such comforting news because actually you don't need to go to Hawaii or a bushwalk or good meals with friends to have peace. There's actually something greater here. Jesus says, in me. Following Jesus is not just about being religious. You actually find yourself in someone else. And while that may seem a little weird, when your life is wrapped up in Christ, when his view becomes your view, when his purposes become your purpose, when his life becomes your life, you find yourself intertwined. On earth, the closest we get to is marriage. But even marriage doesn't go towards the intimacy and the unity that you can have when your life is wrapped up in God. And it sounds crazy, doesn't it? Because so many people have the perception that religion or Christianity is just about following some moral code or just being a good person or a nice person, but it's way more exciting than that. You get wrapped up in God. Your life becomes the same as God's. The purposes of God live there. That's what he's saying. He says, when you're in me, you have peace. And only in him. And most people's anxieties and fears come around our anxiety and fear in front of God. A lot of time we feel perhaps guilt or shame or the things that we think, oh, have I done something wrong? Or maybe I regret that decision. Or we feel panicked or trapped by the things that we've done in the past. That brings great unpeace, dispeace. But Jesus comes and takes that guilt and shame away, and so that you and I can stand before God with complete peace, complete rest. That's the point of the cross. That's why Easter is such a big deal, because Jesus on that cross took all of our shame and guilt and buried it so that you and I don't have to anymore. That's what it means to have peace in Christ. Peace even in our soul. Our soul has rest, therefore the rest of our body, our mind and our emotions can actually live in a degree of peace. That's been my experience. I just know that something greater is inside of me that has dealt with all of my problems, my sin, my mistakes, my shame, that I don't have to carry those anymore. So therefore, there's buoyancy inside of me that sustains me through other kinds of turmoil like financial crisis or health crisis. If you don't have that solid foundation, it's so easy to get blown around by big things. But tell you what, nothing will touch me. I know that when I die, I'll be with Christ in heaven. Yeah, life gets rocky, but there is a peace that passes all understanding. It's inside of my heart. Jesus is the only one who can give us that real peace. And I'm hoping and praying that this Easter, you find that. Maybe you've tuned in and maybe you're not so sure, but we're going to pray for you at the end of this service to help you connect. And you will find this Easter is a great celebration of peace. So then this verse we're looking at, John 16:33, There's four parts to this verse. We've done two. It's these things are that the Holy Spirit is coming to help you. These things you'll find peace in me. Then he says, in the world, you'll have tribulation. In the world around us, you'll have tribulation. It's an odd word. We don't use that so much anymore, but it just means trials, troubles, distresses. The word itself is an interesting root. It comes from when you crush grapes to make wine. I remember as a kid, we had a grapevine. It was supposed to be ornamental, but it actually produced grapes. And they weren't the tastiest grapes in the world. But my father thought that maybe we could have a shot at making wine. It was preposterous, really, this idea that we could all get into some bath and put these grapes in there, and we all got bare feet and stomped in this bath to try and squeeze out some kind of juice. It just didn't work. It was horrible, this taste. But you see, what happened is that that's the same word. Compress is tribulation. To compress is tribulation. So just picture a grape being squeezed or something being squeezed. And maybe that's what you're feeling right now. I've got to stay at home with my family. Or maybe you're just the squeeze of financial pressure. So that sense of being squeezed is what this word tribulation means. And Jesus is saying here that you will have tribulation in this life. Basically, get used to it. It's normal part of life that we have sorrow and tribulation and pressure. It doesn't mean that there's no peace in that. But don't ever expect life to be just completely smooth sailing. It's just not the way it is. And Jesus told us that clearly. Life is messy. But what's amazing in Romans, later on, Romans 5 verse 3 said that we have tribulations that we should exult in them, like celebrate them. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance brings about character, and character brings hope. So somehow done well, tribulation, that crushing pressing, it helps our perseverance. Our perseverance helps our character, and our character helps our hope. Therefore, a world without trials could be a world without hope. It sounds paradoxical, but this is what Jesus is saying. He says, there's going to be trials, there's going to be trouble. In fact, James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of all kinds. So understand that trials will come, viruses will come, and go, praise God. Things will happen, jobs, economy, but actually inside there's something greater at work. There's a great but coming. It says, in this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. Here's the last part of that passage. It says, I've overcome it. I've done it. Now this word overcome means victory. That Jesus has the victory. He's overcome the problem. It's to step over a problem. It's to stop and then come to face to some kind of obstacle, but not have that obstacle stand in your way. Do you know that John writes this word over 20 times? He loves the word victory, overcoming. Like this, in 1 John 4, verse 4, he says, little children, you who are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You see, he's got that sense of being able to overcome. He's got the victory. He's got the life inside of us. And what is an overcomer? Well, it's somebody who overcomes. That's simple. An overcomer is simply somebody who's able to overcome life's obstacles. Not to kind of walk up to them and have a problem and stop, but actually to be able to look over them and see through them. Maybe there's something standing in your way right now. Maybe there's an obstacle or a problem. But what Jesus is saying here is that he has overcome that already. Gosh, that's good news. Whatever problem you're facing right now, and Jesus says, there will be problems, but don't worry about the problems because I have overcome the problems. Maybe these huge financial pressures are bearing down. Jesus says, I've overcome them. Maybe there's sickness bearing down on you. It's like a barrier. It's something you kind of push up against. And think, but Jesus says, I've overcome that thing. Maybe it's a problem in your world and something that's going wrong in a relationship. He says, I have overcome that problem. All we have to do is grab his overcoming into our world and jump through with him. This is such good news. We're preaching good news all month because the Bible says we're going to proclaim, publish good news. Overcoming is a mindset. It's being able to stare down your problem, knowing that Jesus is with you and inside you, that he says, I've overcome the world. One who is in you is greater than anything, any obstacle you face in the world. This is such good news for us. C3 people are overcomers. There's a spirit of overcoming in this church right across our movement. I love it. Facing obstacles, staring them down, believing in God for things. That's the exercise of faith. And it gives us passion and vitality on the inside. This Jesus who is for us is in us. Therefore, we can overcome anything in the world. It's such good news. I have overcome the world. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.